Well, my intention this evening is to bring comfort from God's word. Do you remember how the Lord used the prophet Isaiah? Comfort ye, says the Lord to my people. And at times we need words of comfort, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ knew his disciples needed times of rest and comfort. Once he said to them, come aside and rest a while. They needed that time alone with the Lord Jesus. Jesus was always compassionate, and he saw people who were weary, people who were going through difficulties, and he often met them at their point of need. You can think of the 5,000, and the disciples said, send them away. And Jesus wouldn't send them away. First, he would feed them before they were sent away. Now, in the last couple of weeks at our midweek meetings, we've been thinking of the theme of restoration. We've completed our studies in the book of James, and the last two verses of James talk about restoring somebody who's erring, who's wandering from the truth. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And part of the ministry of the church, part of your ministry and my ministry, is to reclaim people who are wandering from the truth. So if you know of believers who are struggling and going through a hard time and beginning to doubt and beginning to wander, well, the Lord may just use you to bring them back. We considered Simon Peter, and we considered how he was restored. And the Lord knew that Simon would go astray. Before he denied him, the Lord prophesied that it would happen. The Lord Jesus had already prayed for him and already said that he would return, and that he would return to a position where he would strengthen his brethren. It's marvelous, isn't it? The Lord Jesus knew he would fall. He knew he would deny him. But this was all part of God's sovereign purpose to humble that man. Peter was often proud, so that he would become a humble preacher of the grace of Jesus Christ. And it was wonderful to see at those meetings in Howard and Vic's home how the Lord Jesus dealt tenderly with Simon Peter, asking him, do you love me? Before that, having met with Simon Peter privately, a one-to-one situation, and having restored him privately, then restoring him publicly before the disciples. Now, our text this evening is verse 20 of Matthew chapter 12. We're going to put it in context, but the verse is this: a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. Now, I'm sure we're not meant to just see that in negative terms, in what the Lord Jesus Christ won't do. I'm sure above all it speaks to us of his gentleness and his tenderness in the way he does deal with us positively. But when the sinner is burdened, when the sinner is bruised, when the sinner is weak, when we're going through the mill, when we're troubled, when we're heavy laden, we find tremendous comfort in this truth that the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees us as a bruised reed, fragile and weak. He'll come alongside us. He won't break us, but he'll lift us up and he'll heal us. If we're just like that smouldering wick, it's almost as if our faith is about to go out. We've been tried and tempted and tested. We've maybe committed grievous sin, but our heart is for the Lord. We're longing to be back in a right relationship with him. Well, he will not snuff us out. It's a tremendous truth. The Lord Jesus will receive us again to himself. Now, this passage is used by Matthew, the gospel writer. He's taken it from Isaiah chapter 42, and he's applied it to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But let's go back to the beginning of chapter 12. And here we have a situation where the Lord Jesus Christ shows compassion to his disciples. They're hungry on a Sabbath day, and what do they do? Well, they pluck heads of grain. They're hungry. And as a result, they receive fierce criticism. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he defends them and defends them tenderly. And he challenges the Pharisees. He says, well, haven't you read that your great man of God, David, once he broke a law that was written? The law was that you couldn't take the showbread from the tabernacle or the temple. That was the law of God. And yet in a situation of great necessity, the Lord permitted him to take it. It was only for the priest to eat. But David with his men were very hungry. And the Lord required not sacrifice, not just religious duty, but he requires mercy. And so the Lord Jesus used this example and said to the Pharisees, listen, it's all about compassion. It's all about mercy. Yes, it's all about truth, but not truth in a hard, rigid way. Not like that. It's understanding who God is. Yes, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And then we have another Sabbath controversy. In verses 9 to 14, here's a man with a withered hand. And again, they're out to accuse the Lord Jesus. They're out to get him. And so Jesus challenges them. He said, well, which one of you having a sheep that falls into a pit will not help it on a Sabbath day? And are not men and women much more valuable than sheep? Here's a man with a withered hand. Ought I not to do good and heal him on the Sabbath day? You're more concerned about a sheep than a person. And so he says to the man, stretch out your hand. And he restores it. And as a result, verse 14, they're livid. They plot to kill him. But Jesus withdraws from them. He's not going to stay in the place of controversy. He leaves them. He often taught his disciples, didn't he? Turn your back, shake the dust off your feet. If they're rejecting you, go to another place. Well, he withdrew and he went to another place and the multitudes followed him. And what do we read in verse 15? He healed them all. There was not one sick person left who came. Amazing. Every single person who had a condition of sickness, of bodily need, Jesus healed every single one. Imagine the joy. Imagine the conversation afterwards. Imagine people turning to their parents or their children and saying, this is what the Lord has done. And everybody marveling and glorifying God. But he says, be quiet about it. I don't want people to follow me just because I'm a miracle worker. He warns them not to make him known. And then this passage from Isaiah is cited. And he's saying that what he's doing is a fulfillment of this passage. Here's the chosen one, the elect one from God. God is well pleased with him, the beloved one. He's the one who's come not just for Jews, but he's come for Gentiles, people who are far off, broken people. And his ministry isn't one of shouting out in the street. And he's certainly not there to contend with people and to quarrel with people. He's there to minister to bruised sinners. And so he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. That's his ministry. Here's these Gentiles. They're far off, far from the means of grace, outside of the covenant of God, outside of all the blessings that Israel received. And yet Jesus has come for these people in darkness. And he will proclaim justice and truth to them. And they may be bruised and they may be broken, but he will lift them up and raise them. As Spurgeon, when he commented upon the first part of verse 20, he said, for him, the bruised reed reminds him of the contrite sinner. It reminds him of somebody who's outside of Christ, but broken at heart and repenting and coming to Christ, and Christ will receive him. And if you're a person like that this evening, you're bothered about your sin. You know you're not yet a Christian. But if you're bothered about your sin and you're concerned, you have a guilty conscience, well, he will receive you. So Spurgeon sees the bruised reed as a representative of the sinner, the contrite sinner. And then he sees the smoking flax or that smouldering wick as representative of the backslidden saint, the backslidden Christian. He sees that as representative of a Christian who's gone backwards. Instead of advancing in the faith, he's gone back, maybe gone back into the world. He still has faith, but he's almost not there, almost not there. Here he is there. There's life there. And he's saying, I'll come and I'll fan it into a flame again. I will not put it out. Now, having said that, Spurgeon said, obviously, it cannot be limited that way, the text. And so he applies it in all sorts of ways. But surely that our text this evening is a word of hope to all of us. We all feel bruised at times. We all feel weak at times. We all feel very fragile at times. Tears all fall down our cheeks. We all go through times of temptation and difficulty. Not one person in this building is free from trial and hardship, at times mental exhaustion, at times emotional exhaustion. We all are in the mortal body. We're all frail people. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come for broken sinners like us. So the first word I want to give this evening is a word to the wounded sinner. I wonder if you've come this evening feeling your sin. Maybe your conscience has been accusing you for days or even months. Maybe you feel so bad about yourself that you just couldn't share what you really feel about yourself to anybody. Perhaps you feel very convicted before God, but you don't know what to do about it. You feel unclean and you feel broken inside, and sin has had a bruising effect upon you. Well, this verse is for you, a bruised reed he will not break. You see, Christ came not for the righteous, but Christ came for the sinner. Turn back to Matthew 9 and verses 12 and 13. Jesus said this, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Christ came for people who feel their need of him. People who are sick. People who know that they're sinners. He came as a doctor. Verse 13, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Friday night I was talking to a young man, and his situation was that he'd lost both of his parents young. They're both alcoholics. He'd become an alcoholic, and now thankfully he was free of being addicted to alcohol. And I said to him, well, you know, when Jesus came, he sat with a prostitute, with the people who knew they were sinners, and he ministered to them. I said, did you know it was the people in the church that crucified him? It was a religious elite. He said, I never heard that before. Christ came for sinners and came to call them to repentance. How about you this evening? Do you have a broken heart? Do you have a contrite heart? Do you feel your sin? He will not despise a contrite heart. Think of the woman caught in adultery, how she must have felt. We looked at her, didn't we, a number of weeks ago. She was caught red-handed. She was put before everybody. How shamefaced she was, and yet Jesus extended grace to her. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Think of that other woman who came into Simon the Pharisee's house. There she was weeping. Weeping because she knew she was a sinner, but loving much because she knew she was forgiven much. She came as a contrite sinner to Christ, and she went away hearing declarations, go in peace, my daughter. Your sins are forgiven you. Has Jesus ever turned any sinner away who's come confessing their sins? Will Jesus ever turn anybody away who calls upon God to forgive them in truth? He will never. The scriptures are true. If you confess your sins, God has promised that he will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. You can know peace this evening with God if you trust in Jesus Christ. The bruised reed he will not break. So there's a word here for the wounded sinner. But what about the person who's weary? See, we can all be weary, can't we? Weary of ourselves, weary of the world in which we live, sometimes weary because of the hardness of life, sometimes weary because of criticisms, sometimes weary because of the way people act. We can know mental anguish. We can know exhaustion. We can feel very physically low. When the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," I don't believe he was just thinking of the person who wasn't yet a Christian. He was thinking of the saint, somebody who already belonged to him. Whoever you are, sinner or saint, whoever you are, believer or not yet a true believer, he's saying, "Come to me if you're weary, if you're laid low, if there's a pressure upon you because of your sin, because of living in a sinful world, if you've been overtaken by sin, overtaken in a temptation. Know that you can come back. Know that you can be restored. A smoking flax he will not put out." The Bible says that God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Do you feel weak? It's lovely, that hymn we sung, isn't it? I'm sure we all really enjoy that when we've come to the end of our hoarded resources. The Father's forgiving has only begun. And you think, is that true? When I've come to the end of myself and I've got no more physical strength, is it true that he giveth and giveth and giveth again? Well, it is true. There's riches untold in God. And when we're weak, then we can know him, lifting us up and strengthening him. That's his delight as we trust in him. Have you noticed in the Bible the images that God uses to describe believers? Are we described as lions? No, we're described as lambs. Are we described as a strong form of animal? No, we're just the little chicks under the mother wing's hen. Are we described as mature? Well, there are mature Christians, but look at Matthew 11:25. It was the Father's good pleasure to reveal these things unto babes. We're spoken of in terms of weakness and fragility. You see, God chooses the weak things of this world. Jesus Christ is a specialist in lifting up the weak. Those who feel they're on the dunghill of life, he lifts them up and he puts them in better places. Ezekiel 34, verses 15 and 16. "I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down." That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus preaches through the ministry of the pulpits? Do you believe that Jesus ministers himself through God's servants? And do you believe that he is the shepherd of the church? And do you believe he makes his people lie down in green pastures? "I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down," says the Lord. "I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. Bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick." Do you see a length and a breadth and a depth and a height in the love of Christ? Do you see that there is all sufficiency in him? Do you see that there is no cause too difficult, no situation too hard, no woe too strong that he cannot come and minister to? So if you're feeling battle-weary this evening, if you're feeling worn, as we sang earlier, it's often, isn't it, battles and fears, fears within, without. But if we come and say, "O Lamb of God, I come," we find in him a resting place. Have you cast your worries upon him? Because he does care for you. Does he care for you? Does he love you? He's a good shepherd of the sheep who ministers grace to his people. May it be that we experience his love and his care continually. So we've had a word to the wounded sinner. We've had a word to the weary Christian. But now let's have a word to the tempted. Christians, no bruising times. Christians know times of great temptation. Temptations can be very powerful and very seductive. We're in a spiritual battle. And he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Think of David, the man after God's own heart. What a bruising time it was after he'd sinned against the Lord. How he felt so broken within. How his bones ached within him. How he felt just so awful. And yet he came back to the Lord. He confessed his sin. And that bruised reed was not broken. Think of Moses. Moses probably would have said, well, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I just wish I wasn't there when there was that fight going on. I shouldn't have intervened, but I did. And how his conscience must have smitten him, having murdered a person. In a flash, in a moment, with great anger, he did what he ought not to have done. But I'm sure he was humbled by that whole situation. He found the forgiveness and the love of God. The Bible says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Satan will accuse you, and he'll accuse me, and accuse us very strongly at times, and we'll wonder whether we've ever been a Christian at all. But we come to God through Jesus Christ. We know that we have an advocate that stands at his right hand. And we're told that there's help for us in time of need. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. When we're tempted, let's remember that we have a high priest who is tempted like us and sympathizes and is able to help us and to aid us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 18. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. You think that your temptations are bad. You think that your afflictions are very sore. Well, they're nothing compared to the bombardment that Christ received. Imagine those 40 days and those 40 nights, diabolic temptations. Imagine what he was facing in Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted at every point like we are, yet without sin. And so he knows what it is to be in a battle, and he's able to help us. Turn with me to Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, we have one who represents us in heaven. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you come to the point that you feel you cannot pray, when you come to the point that you feel that you're so weak, remember the Spirit of God prays for you. He makes intercession for you with groanings. Remember Jesus Christ prays for you. And remember that he sympathizes and he understands the pain and the agony and the struggle. And he's able to bring comfort. What a wonderful truth is, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is Comforter. He's one who gives succor and help. One who comes alongside, the gracious paraclete of God. Jesus has given him. In his place, he would not leave us as orphans. And he will lift us up. And our sins have been dealt with because he is the propitiation for our sins. And therefore we can come boldly into his presence. We can come as we are, despite our sin. We can come into his presence because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we have a high priest over the house of God. So if you're going through a time of severe testing and temptation, remember, a bruised reed he will not break. He spilt his blood for you. He's made atonement for your sins. He will give you aid. But now a word to the person who just feels weak in faith. Some Christians struggle. They look at other Christians and they say, but I wish I was like him or her, but I'm just not. I'm very weak in faith. Another person says, I'm weak in strength. Well, it's actually quite good to feel weak, actually. They're the ones that God uses and blesses. It's dangerous when we feel strong. But some Christians feel so weak in my faith. And some say, I'm so weak that I wonder whether I'm going to fall away. I'm not sure I could stand a severe test. If I faced persecution, would I come through it? And I feel so weak in my walk with the Lord. I find it so difficult to trust at times, and I just seem to muddle along as a Christian. Well, remember how Jesus ministered to Christians who struggled. Think of doubting Thomas. How gracious the Lord was to doubting Thomas. He showed him his hands and his feet. The Lord Jesus Christ is one who understands all the troubles and the difficulties that his people go through. The word of God says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Yes, you may be weak, but there are untold riches in him, if you would but believe. And then a word to the backslider. Do you feel as if you're just a little spark? A smouldering flax, or probably better translated, a smouldering wick. You picture it in your mind, here's a little candle, here's the little wick, and it's about to go out. Yes, it seems that bad. You feel very cold in your heart towards God. You feel spiritually sick. You've wandered away. But remember how the Lord Jesus brought back Jonah. Remember how he brought back Simon Peter. Think of Jonah. Jonah refused to do what God called him to do. He ran away from the presence of God. He could hardly pray until he was in the belly of a whale. And then he cried out to the Lord because of his affliction. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord spoke to that fish. And the Lord used him again. God is a God who restores the backslider. Think of David. He's fallen grievously, but as he prays this, the Lord does hear him. He says to the Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He'd lost all of his joy. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will be converted to you. Yes, he felt so awful. Lord, have mercy upon me. But he was broken. He had a contrite heart. And amazingly, he had a certainty that the Lord would use him even again to teach transgressors his way. That's what happened to Simon Peter. Simon Peter had a grievous fall. But the Lord said to him, I'm going to restore you. And I'm going to use you again. I'm going to recommission you. Feed my lambs. Tend my flock. Tend my sheep, he says to him. Think of the parable of the prodigal. Yes, that applies principally to the unconverted, but surely it's a word to the backslidden Christian also. How does the Lord receive the prodigal? He receives him with open arms. He doesn't reprimand him. He puts a ring upon his finger. He puts on his feet sandals. He puts the best robe around him. And there's joy. God is a God who loves to receive sinners back to him. He loves freely the backslider. He says, I will heal the backslider and I will love them freely. None shall pluck us from his hand. So if you're in that backslidden condition tonight, come back to the Lord. And very lastly this evening, a word to the church. If the Lord Jesus treats others like that, how should you and I treat bruised and broken sinners? When somebody shouts at you, when somebody treats you badly, do you want to shout back? Or do you have compassion upon them? Do we have a merciful spirit? The scripture says, for mercy is without judgment to the one who shows no mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Sometimes the church is not always as good as it should be in restoring sinners. Paul said to the church in Corinth, after a man had committed grievous sin and had to be put out of the church, he said, now, you must restore him now. He's repented. He's been disciplined, but he's come back. And he says to the church in 2 Corinthians 2, forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Don't hold back. Now embrace him. If you don't embrace him, he's going to be overcome with deep depression. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. What's the ministry of the church? Comfort the faint-hearted. Not criticize the faint-hearted. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Romans 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in faith. Don't keep him at arm's length. Don't say he's so weak in faith, he's not part of us. Receive one who is weak in faith. Romans 15, verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. That's the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. And what's the promise? Well, look at this in Matthew 12, 20. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. That's a wonderful promise. He's saying in these places where there's a bruising, where there's a weakness, where there's fragility, there I'm going to come and minister, particularly in the context in the Gentile lands, people who know nothing of God and of the truth, I'm going to come. Justice in truth will be declared, and in those places there will be victory, there will be restoration, and God will work. And may it be that we see as a church, in those difficult areas, those dark areas, in the community, or in Christians who are going through hard times, that we see God working in restoring and reviving power and grace. And may it be that we are humble, because it just may mean that one day, you and I are in need of somebody else. We feel we've dishonored the Lord. And we just need the love and the kindness of the church. We're broken. And may it be that we show that spirit always to others. Amen.